Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our program. Tom, it's raining again. I'm not going to complain because look where we're living, right?
Right. Well, it's supposed to slack off this afternoon, and then we're supposed to be in for a few days of sunny weather.
Well, I hope so. It is the midweek edition. It's Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023, our show now in its 13th year, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk worldwide, live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our telephone interviews, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. This is an election year in the city of Tucson, as voters will elect the mayor, city council members representing wards 1, 2, and 4. The primary election is August the 1st, the general election November the 7th. Tucson Mayor Rahina Romero has announced she is seeking a second four-year term. There are two independent candidates who are running for mayor, and we have both of them with us in studio. 64-year-old Ed Ackerley is owner of Ackerley Advertising. Ed is a career track faculty member at the University of Arizona Eller College of Management. He ran for mayor in 2019 and lost to Mayor Romero after garnering about 40% of the vote in the general election. Also with us, 32-year-old Zach Yenser. Zach spent 5 years hosting Tipping Point right here on KVOI. He previously served as president of the Menlo Park Neighborhood Association. Zach is currently the executive director of the nearly 1,000-member Tucson Young Professionals, a coalition of up-and-coming leaders and working professionals throughout the Tucson area. This is Zach's first run for political office. Zach, first of all, welcome back to KVOI.
It's good to be here. Still a little weird to be on the other side. And I actually had the blessing to host your show a couple of times.
You
so
did.
It's extra weird to be on this side at 12 o'clock.
And Ed, good to see you. Ed Ackerley, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you, and congratulations to you on 13 years behind the microphone
13
here.
Years, leaving Channel 6 after 22 years. So we're like in year number 35.
That's amazing.
Here in this market, then tack on another 20 years in other places. Anyway, why don't we begin with you, Ed Ackerley. Ed, why the second run for mayor?
Well, right after the election in 2019, where I thought I did fairly well as a newbie to politics and garnering about 40% of the vote, it wasn't really too far after that, too many days after that, that I just kind of thought to myself that maybe we could do something better to maybe win the thing. So I waited for a while, and ironically, a few months later, the University of Arizona promoted me and kind of encouraged me to pursue my dreams. And so I went ahead and declared that I was going to run in November of 21. So I've been working since then openly with my campaign team. And, you know, the reason I'm running again is that I do feel that there's a void of leadership in City Hall. And I think I have the experience and the life experience, but also the business and civic experience to bring some leadership to the mayor's office. And that's why I decided to throw my hat back in the ring.
And Zach Yenser, it's not like you needed something else to do. I mean, you've got a lot on your plate. Why this?
Yeah, you mentioned some of the professional experiences, but I also have 3 kids, 6 and under. So so your statement, as if I, you know. But, you know, I have 2 kids in TUSD schools. I'm invested in this community. I'm running for mayor because I love Tucson. I think Tucson has all the potential in the world to become a great 21st century American mid-sized city. But the old Pueblo is facing new big city challenges, and we're at a tipping point where I think the decisions we make in the next 5 or 10 years will shape really the next 50. And over the last 5 years, we've seen a 40% increase in rent. We've seen a 70% increase in homelessness. We've seen how far our local economy, which has a lot of seeds in the ground, good seeds, still trails the state, the region, the nation. And we still struggle with a public safety crisis in this community. And I thought we needed a fresh, independent voice to turn down the noise and tune out the noise from Washington and get back to work locally on taking those challenges head on. And I think what got us here will not get us to where we need to go. And it was a time for some new leadership. And I think we're going to have to get young people and independents engaged in this race. And I think I'm the candidate to do it. So I put all that together and I felt an urgency for Tucson and got in.
Okay, Ed, so Zach's articulated his issues. Let's hear what you've got on your agenda.
First and foremost, I think it's pretty obvious that public safety needs to be the number one issue that we focus on in 2023. We look at the number of police officers that we have in Tucson right now, and we're asking Chief Kazmar to police a city where we've grown in population, but we've in the last 15 years have taken the police force down to about 750 is what he uses as kind of a number that he uses. Some would say that that number might be more in the 400 range of deployable officers. And that is the single most important issue. The safety of our citizens, I think, is number one. I think we have to look at water and the issues that are related around that. Obviously, economic development and jobs and increasing the median income that people have in Tucson, and that comes with growth in both the public and private sector, mostly jobs. We've cut back in so many different areas, and lots of businesses have gone away. We got to do something to bring them back. And then, of course, the big elephant in the room, I think, is this fentanyl crisis that is plaguing the city with the homeless population explosion and the number of people who are addicted to fentanyl, and what that means in terms of crime and what that means in terms of some lawlessness and behavior that is unbecoming of the city of Tucson. So whoever is the next mayor, there are a lot of challenges ahead, and I think that that first and foremost is public safety.
All right, 790-2040, if folks want to join us with a question for our candidates. Richard just sent me an email question. Zach, why don't you take a stab at this, and then we'll ask Ed his opinion. What do the candidates think about the new 22nd Street Bridge design?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of those designs are starting to pop up, and I was really concerned when Tim Steller wrote a piece about how really if it's designed to move people and also to move people who aren't using a car through the region, that the current design of it is really not doing either effectively. And Mayor Romero said in text, my job is to set the vision and get the money, and I did both. And I thought that was a bit of a shame, because I think it's the mayor's duty to do those things, but also to stay on top of whether or not the design is actually meeting the goals that were set out. So I'm glad there's federal resources coming in for it. I don't think the current design is going to get the job done. And I think the mayor and council need to keep a tighter eye in collaboration with our great staff at the Tucson Department of Transportation to make sure that what actually happens is going to meet where we need to go.
What do you think about it, Ed?
Well, I think it's thankful that the federal government is going to give us some money finally to do this. This has been talked about for several decades to replace that bridge. But I do think that the current vision of what Tucson Street should look like is, I think, indicative of the Fifth Street corridor, where from Country Club to Wilmot, they'd like to change that from a four-lane road to a two-lane road with bike lanes on either side. And I think you could just go down to Campbell Avenue and go down to South 12th Avenue and talk to those businesses about when you change a thoroughfare like that, if you don't make it car-centric and have people able to get to the businesses, it's going to create an economic hardship. And so I think the 22nd Street Bridge is good. I think it's fine to try and accommodate bicycles and other forms of transportation eventually, perhaps. But we need to widen these streets, not make them more narrow and make it harder for cars to get around. We'll have a hard enough time getting from one side of Tucson to the other. So I'm a little concerned about the designs, but I think common sense will prevail, and we'll get a bridge that is a long time in coming and will benefit the majority of Tucsonans.
All right, let's pause right here and talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Ed, could you go with a pastry right now?
I sure could.
How about you, Zach?
I could.
Well, the place to go is Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open, and people are ready when the doors open Tuesday through Saturday at 6:30. Then they're open on Sunday at 7. My advice, get there early for the best selection. Their website's looking really good, too. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, home of the Danish Kringle. I'm very partial these days to their croissants. I think they're the best in town, especially. My goodness, the chocolate croissant was so huge over the weekend, looked like a Frisbee. Cut it in half, I thought, I'll just take half. Well, of course, a few minutes later, well, maybe about 5 minutes later, the other half was consumed. It's that good. All right, we'll pause right here. Be right back. Ed Ackerley, Zach Yenzer with us. Both of them would like very much to be the mayor of the city of Tucson. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We have the two independent candidates who have declared they would like to be the mayor of the city of Tucson. We do have an election coming up this year. The primary is August 1st, but both Ed Ackerley and Zach Yenzer, being independents, don't have to worry about the primary. They do have to worry about the general election, obviously, November 7th. Ed and Zach, a little bit about, I know you need 3,000 signatures by early April, approximately 3,000. When you're out gathering, you need more than that because you don't know how many are thrown out. Things have really changed at Ackerley since the pandemic, haven't they, as far as trying to get people to sign petitions?
I would say that
people are very suspicious. Somebody comes up to you, please sign my petition.
Right. Yeah. I would say that the place where that rears its head the most is in the door-to-door neighborhood, walking and talking to people in neighborhoods. Lots of people simply just don't answer their door anymore. And if you do get them, there's sometimes a very quick close of the door as well, especially when you tell them what you're there for. But I would say out in the regular public spaces where people are gathering and you're asking them to sign, most people are very cordial. But the one irony is this kind of a funny thing is that people don't know if they live within the city boundaries of the city of Tucson. And part of that comes from unincorporated Pima County being called Tucson and even some places in Marana being called Tucson or their address is Tucson. So sometimes you have kind of a comical conversation with people about where they live and whether or not they're actually eligible to sign the petition. But most people, when you meet them in public, are pretty responsive. Some will ignore you and try not to do it. But boy, going to house, it is totally different from the last time. People open their doors regularly last time. This time it's much more reserved.
Zach, what do you think? What's this experience been for you? What's it like?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what Ed said, so I won't repeat it, but you know, I was knocking on a door in Midtown the other day and a couple came out and we were talking and they said, you know, we've been affiliated with XYZ party all of our lives. We're about to switch over to becoming independent. And I thought that was, you know, interesting, although the numbers reflect that. So I asked why, and they said, you know, we're really concerned about how fast Tucson is changing. The last 4 or 5 years has brought enormous change in some of the areas that I mentioned.
Sure.
And we don't feel like, certainly nationally, but also locally, either party is really listening to our concerns and doing something about it. And so they feel disconnected and disengaged. They don't feel heard and listened to. And I think a lot of what Ed is mentioning behind that is a lot of political exhaustion. We have seen our political conversation in this country become so drawn to the edges and become such trench warfare that people realize that not much is getting done and are wondering, can they invest again in the political process? And I'm certainly in my own way trying to say, look, I'm going to be the guy that focuses back on our nuts and bolts and on bringing people together again to get the priorities covered in Tucson and to shape our next as a 21st century American city. I need you to believe in the process again. But yeah, COVID changed things, and then the political exhaustion. It's real out there. And, you know, Tucson does an odd year election. And so that means Tucsonans deal with an election in the city of Tucson every single year. And it's all part of it.
Yeah. So what is the path to victory with you've got two independents here that presumably would split the vote at Ackerley? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm sure that Zach is going to announce right here today that he's going to
throw his support
behind me. It will be difficult. You know, we have there's talk of a Republican joining. There's talk of a Libertarian joining. There's talk of a second Democrat joining, so there's a large pool of people. I think that says something to us about, you know, when Jonathan Rothschild was the mayor, there weren't so many people jumping in to dethrone him as in his second term. I think this says a lot about what our citizens think about what's going on in our city and that there needs to be some change. The parties are reacting to that by running candidates now, and the independents are certainly a force to be reckoned with. So I think it says more about the reaction of the voters about what's happening to Tucson. It doesn't take a genius to drive around and look and see what's happening and see the boarded up buildings and see the windows that have been broken, see the tents in the parks, and to see the people standing up by the bus stop and the fentanyl pose, I call it. and to see that we're changing as a city, and many people, I think, are very disheartened by that view of what Tucson is. I know that's why I'm in. I want to fix Tucson and get it back to the beautiful city that I grew up in.
So, Zach, what is your path to victory?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting looking at the numbers. The past number of cycles in Tucson, we've seen Republican and independent candidates hit that 40% ceiling, whether it's running for council, whether it's running for mayor. And so the question I had to ask myself is, what about Zach, if anything, could make him the candidate that could break that 40% ceiling and be a viable candidate for mayor? And for me, it was looking at the fact that we know these numbers. There's 60,000 Republicans. It's a little bit more than that. I'm giving broad numbers. 60,000 Republicans, 120,000 Democrats. And certainly there's a number of disgruntled Democrats in our community who feel like their priorities for Tucson are left behind by the current administration. I think Republicans would be very happy to have an independent voice focused on Tucson priorities. There's 100,000 registered independents as well in Tucson. Nobody talks about that number. So my path to victory is to create a coalition, a cross-partisan, multi-generational coalition that brings in Republicans, Democrats, and those independents who sometimes sit on the sidelines. I want to inspire their engagement, and also young people who tend to sit on the sidelines. If they can see in me a candidate that is focused on the future of Tucson and can engage, I think that shifts the map of what we have worked with in terms of an electorate here in Tucson. And all the data so far supports that thesis, and that's my path to victory. At the end of the day, and I want to encourage Tucsonans with this, we're about a 550,000 person community. It takes only 55,000 of those Tucsonans to push a new, fresh, independent voice over the top in November. There's a path.
All right. Quickly running out of time, Ed Ackerley, why should people take a look at your candidacy?
For the last 64 years, I have lived here and have seen a beautiful place that I grew up in. Over the last, 15 years, defund police, have a crime rate that's making national news, having be called the fentanyl capital of the world, to be called the dirty tea. And to me, that's somewhat offensive. People used to come, and still do, from all over the world to visit Tucson. I'm all about the good things that Tucson has to offer: the culture, the people, the climate, the food, all the wonderful things, the University of Arizona. And I believe that we've taken our eye off the ball from this management of our resources that we have, and it's going to take some really strong leadership. I think I provide that leadership. I have a long track record of running organizations and businesses and teaching leadership, and have a degree in leadership. And I think that's the component that is missing in City Hall, is leadership, strong leadership to stand up and say, we're not going to do this anymore, and we're going to create a better Tucson for the future.
And what kind of a mayor would Zach Yenser be?
Yeah. You know, I think in terms of my experience in Tucson, it's been a tapestry of working in the public, private, and nonprofit sector. And I think a mayor has to know how the different sectors of our community work together for the common good. While I appreciate the 16 years of service our current mayor has provided, she's really only worked in one sector. And I think a good mayor understands how the different sectors work together, and I definitely bring that to the table. Tucsonans can expect in me a mayor that makes decisions based on the answer to one question: is it good for Tucsonans? I think we've politicized the office, and we've allowed the noise from Washington the last few years to really seep into our local life in a way that has been divisive and unproductive. And as a mayor, I'm running as the antidote to that. And lastly, I'd be focused on what I call the scorecard. Around this country, people make decisions to come and stay in a community or to leave a community based on how that community grades on the scorecard: affordability, opportunity, quality of life. Can you afford the cost of living on the wages of good paying jobs near good parks, good roads, good schools, and safe neighborhoods? And so I'll be a mayor that focuses on making Tucson affordable again for Tucsonans, creating an economic identity that drives us forward and grows good jobs and good wages, and make sure that we address at scale our crises of homelessness and public safety. Those are our core issues. We have to get back to work on those, and that's the kind of mayor I would be.
Very few people vote in these elections.
Very few.
When you look at, because Zach said something about a lot of people that sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, it could be as few as maybe 10 or 12% of the people who are voting or are determining who the next mayor is and what's going to be happening in the
future. People complain, and then they sit on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I also think on the flip side, a candidate that can create greater turnout in an odd year election where there is low turnout, I think flips the status quo on its head, which is why I'm excited about this opportunity. And I think this is our year to bring a fresh, independent voice to the table.
All right, where can people?
I appreciate that.
Let's get some information to the listeners about folks that would like to know more about Ed Ackerley.
Well, you can go to my website, ackerleyformayor.com, and my platform is there. And the issue, obviously, number one is public safety and police. And anybody can give me a call, too. I'm available anytime at 520-850-7058. I'll talk to anybody anytime about issues that are good for Tucson.
All right, Zach, what about you?
My website is Zach, Z-A-C-H, the word for Tucson, zachfortucson.com. My platform is also up there. And then if you would like to be a part of our grassroots movement, we're always looking for investors in our campaign. I don't have any special interests dumping money into the account. It is driven by good men and women on the ground who are supporting us. So you can sign my petition online. You can donate online. I appreciate it.
Gentlemen, good to see you. Zach Yenser and Ed Ackerley. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Bill. Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Talk about Pima County assessments with the assessor right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a great time of year. The spring season, my goodness, it is kind of prime time for doing your planting, and Green Things can accommodate you. And one of the great things about Green Things, the salespeople are so knowledgeable. Ask them a question, what might do well in your particular garden, they will point you in the right direction. Also, the sister business is Zocalo Village, beautiful merchandise, much of it imported from Mexico, including Talavera pottery at Zocalo Village, right there on site. Here are a couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. They're in their 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will do here momentarily, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The Pima County Assessor's Office has sent out notices of full cash value for your property. The value will be used to calculate your taxes for the following year. The Pima County Board of Supervisors sets the tax rate on the third Monday in August. Let's bring in now on the live line Suzanne Druby. She is the Pima County Assessor, elected in November of 2020. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Talk a little bit generally about this batch of assessments. Are the values generally up, Suzanne?
They are. As most of us know, we've had a market over the last couple of years that has been increasing. It's been increasing pretty much for all property types across the board. This year, we issued over 434,000 notices, and our full cash value was at $149.5 billion. That's a 21.8% increase over the 2023 value of $122.8 billion.
That's a lot. That's a big increase.
It is. I know that we're in one of those situations, or I find myself in one of those situations where I get a lot of phone calls from people when they see what that full cash value is and how much it's gone up. Of course, when your real estate agent tells you how much it's gone up, everybody's always really excited and really happy, but not necessarily the case when they get their notices from me. And I tell them the same thing. And obviously that's because I use that value, or we use that value here at the county to determine their portion of the property tax budget that they need to collect for Pima County. But yes, I still would say and tell everybody that it is a good thing that your market value is increasing. That means your equity is increasing. And the good news is with that full cash value increase, that means we've put more people onto the tax rolls. We've put more properties onto the tax rolls. And what that means is that everybody's portion gets distributed out a little bit thinner because there's more people on the roll.
How about people that say, I really don't like this and I want to dispute it? What's the process?
Yeah, per statute in Arizona, we have a fee, an appeal system that's free to the taxpayers. So if you get that notice of value and you look at the value and the full cash value looks higher than what you believe your property is worth or what you believe you could sell it for, then if you call our office, we're going to go over that value with you and we're going to help you file an appeal if you feel that that's what you need to do and move forward. And then from filing the appeal, you have a meeting with the assessor's office. We sit down, we go over it again, and we'll make a decision as to what we're going to do with that value. If you don't like that decision still, you can take it one step further to the State Board of Equalization and plead your case or explain your position to them. And then they'll make the final determination as to what your full cash value will look like. From there, if you still don't like that decision, you can take it to tax court. Now, tax court, that is a separate system from what we have set up with the state that's free. The actual tax court will cost you a nominal fee if it's under $2 million worth of value, which most of us fall under, then it is a civil case. If it's above that, then it's a higher level tax court case, and that would in most cases require you to get an attorney.
Generally speaking, Suzanne, what percentage of people do complain about? Well, those that complain is probably higher than those that actually file some kind of action. Generally, what percent file something?
Beyond the appeal?
Yeah,
or
just that they
appeal in general?
Just appeal in general. I'm just trying to get a rough ballpark figure.
Last year, we had under 1,000 1,000 actual appeals of the 434,000 notices that were
very
sent.
Small percentage. Then very small,
yeah. And very small.
Would they be filing? In many cases, they believe that it might lower their property taxes. Is that motivation?
Well, and that's kind of a misconception. When you in the state of Arizona, you can only appeal your full cash value.
Uh-huh.
But the full cash value is not actually the value that your taxes are calculated on. It's that limited value.
Okay.
So when you're looking at your notice, I would really love for people to look at their full cash value, make sure it's correct, but then really pay attention to your limited value. Because when you look at that limited value, that's the number they're going to use to calculate your taxes. And that number can only go up 5% per statute unless you've made some sort of a significant change to the property, such as a very large addition, or you split your property into two separate parcels, or something like that would have to occur in order for that to go up more than the 5%. So while market values can increase 12-15% in a year, your limited value can only increase 5%. And what that does is that helps people to be able to budget more accurately when it comes to property taxes, and it helps to maintain a consistent level versus the severe ups and downs that we sometimes see in the market.
You know, I called for you today to remind you of your appointment, and I was very impressed that a live human being, when I called at 8 o'clock this morning, actually answered the phone. Let's face it, customer service is something that is lacking in many areas these days, Suzanne.
Yes, it is. And I ran on it. It's one of the things I pride myself on is customer service and putting the service back into public service, because I feel it's very, very important that when a member of Pima County, a member of our community calls a member that's in government, they need to be able to talk to somebody and not just leave a message or get bounced all over the county. So it's something I strive to be better at. And so I appreciate your acknowledgement of that. Thank you.
All right. What would you like our listeners to know here in about a minute to go? What some of your final thoughts, please?
What I would like everybody to know is that we've got a couple new features down at the assessor's office. One, if you do feel the need to file that appeal with the assessor's office, we now you are now able to do that as a residential homeowner online. So you can go ahead and fill the appeal paperwork out and submit it right online. You can call us if you need help with that. The other thing that I want to let everybody know is that we have the library visits are currently going on. So if you want to sit down and talk with somebody from the assessor's office about exemptions, about your value, or anything else, please come and visit us at the libraries. And that schedule is on the assessor's website. Or you can always call our main line at 520-724-8630 for more information.
How do you like the job so far?
I love it. I really, really do love it. It's, you know, having worked through every aspect of property tax, as far as from the private sector and the public sector, and being of course, I was a prior staff member of the assessor's office and my predecessor. I'm finding that being able to come in here and really make a difference is the best feeling in the world. I love every second of it, and I love everything I've been able to accomplish for the taxpayers.
I would guess that you are declaring for another term.
Definitely, yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, anybody out there listening that is able to go online and sign petitions, that should be up and running sometime next week. So anybody that would like to see me here for another 4 years can go ahead and go on there and sign my petition. I would love that. And I'm looking forward to an exciting campaign season coming up.
And your last name, people screw it up, I'm sure, all the time.
It's Droubie, D-R-O-U-B-I-E.
There you go. All right, yeah. Suzanne, a pleasure catching up with you. Thank you very much.
As always, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it and look forward to our next time.
Thank you, Suzanne Droubie, the Pima County Assessor. All right, coming up next, Troy Hutchison will join us from GoAZCats.com. You know what we'll talk with Troy about. Well, what happened? All right, we'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. Buckmaster here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio after the current spring showers that we're having here in Southern Arizona and over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The forecast looks pretty good. Very pleasant temperatures over in Silver, pushing 70 by into next week. So it's a good time to start thinking about a spring getaway. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, and there you will find all sorts of ways to recreate, some great places to stay and great places to dine as well. Only about a three-hour drive. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, and as far as I know, everybody has a good time and says thank you for exposing Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go on the live line now. Troy Hutchison is with us on the live line. Troy, staff writer for GoAZCats.com. Troy, how are you today?
Good. How about you, Bill?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. So a week ago, we talked to you just before tip-off of the Princeton game. Okay, I will concede, Troy, that the Tigers are pretty darn good. They're in the Sweet 16. But after all, University of Arizona is an elite basketball program. It was pretty shocking that they went down, Troy.
Yeah, and you know what? It seemed like Arizona had full control of that game, up by 12 with, I think, about 8 to 9 minutes left in the game. And from that point on, the Wildcats could only score 6 more points. At that point in time, I really felt like Arizona was about to go on a 10-0 run like they usually do, put the game away and move on to the next round. But they just kind of lacklustered through that half and seemed to go through the motions, and then they look up and they're down by 3 with a couple seconds left, and it's panic time and the game's over.
Hey, Troy, I concede that that the Cats had some cold nights shooting through the season, but there, it seems to me, and I think some others, that there's a chemistry, or was a chemistry problem, and that may sort itself out. We see that Kerr entered the transfer portal. We could be looking at a really different ball club next year, correct, Troy?
Yeah, correct. I don't know if it was necessarily a chemistry issue. I know a lot of the guys got along on the team. I think it was more of a complacent issue, and they alluded to that in the post game, saying that, you know, they just felt like they were going to win that game, go out there and move on to the next round. They really didn't pay attention that much to Princeton, the players in their mind, and they lost. And when you play games like that, you tend to lose. And we saw that all season with this Arizona team against Oregon, Utah, Stanford, Washington State, teams that they are better than. They just went out there and kind of just rolled the ball on the court and thought they were going to win, and they didn't, but played great against elite talent. But Kirk Reese is entering the transfer portal. To me, that means that Kylan Boswell will be the point guard of the future for the Wildcats, and I think a lot of Wildcat fans are excited about that. A young 17-year-old looked great down the stretch of the season after recovering from a foot surgery, when he first came to Tucson. So to me, that means that Kerr was going to be placed off the ball, and Kerr wants to be a point guard. I think he has nothing but love for Tucson, but it was time for him to move on and find a new home as a starting point guard.
All right. You've been covering spring drills for the football team. A lot of people are anxiously now turning to football. And how does this Wildcat team look now going into year 3 for Coach Fish?
I think, you know, it's night and day. When you think about 3 years ago when he came into this program, I know covering spring football, when you looked at the talent out there on the field, you're like, oh God, this is not Pac-12 talent. This is not a Pac-12 caliber roster. And you fast forward 3 years later, this is a roster that has NFL talent on it. I think there's about 6 guys with NFL potential, if not more. And it's a team that won 5 games last season and could have won 6.
Yeah.
That, to me, is going to be a bowl team this season, somewhere between 6 and 8 wins. I think that 7 win mark is more likely for the regular season. But you look at the renovations they've done in offense the last couple years. I mean, Arizona has one of the best offenses, not only in the conference, but in the country as well. And now defense with Coach Nansen. Don Brown did a good job of helping building it up, but then he left for UMass, and Nansen's kind of continued that. and reopen the Polynesian pipeline that Arizona had when Dick Tomey and Mike Stoops were here back in the day. And he's kind of renovated the defense that way, and you're seeing a lot of guys make impact via transfer and freshman.
We had President Robbins with us, Troy, on the show on Tuesday, and I asked him what is the latest on the whole possible realignment of the Pac-12, and he says things are right now kind of status quo, sort of a holding pattern. Is that kind of what you're hearing?
Yeah, you know, I think the Pac-12 would have liked to have had a TV deal done by now, but, you know, they are the last Power 5 team out on the market with the ACC locked up for another, God, I think like 4 or 5 years. They signed a 13-year deal, and now the Big 12 done. The Pac-12 is the last prime conference on the market. I do know it's going to be something unique that combines TV with internet, Amazon, companies like that. But I feel that the conference feels pretty confident in where they're going. But, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Arizona and other schools to the Big 12. Nobody really knows what's going on besides the presidents and the athletic directors of these universities. And fans are just going to have to wait and see. But one thing's for sure, it can't get worse than the contract that the Pac-12 had underneath Larry Scott, the previous commissioner, that's really gotten them into this situation. And it really is the reasoning behind USC and UCLA leaving in the first place. I think George Kalilkoff's done a great job of kind of doing damage control, but they should have a deal done, I would say, before the start of football season.
Looking ahead then to the will there be a spring game? I know there's going to be a spring game. Could you give our listeners an update on that for the football team?
Yeah, that's going to be April 15th. I believe the time is going to be 3:30 on that without looking at a calendar, but somewhere around the 3 o'clock hour locally. So it's a nice time, you know, not too hot, not too cold, somewhere in between, and should be a good environment. Last year, they had a number of fans out at the spring event that they haven't had in a long time. So I expect the same turnout, if not more. And, you know, I think the general direction of this program is pretty positive.
And the schedule, we have to go to Mississippi State, I think, next year, don't we? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arizona does travel to Starksville. And, you know, that's always tough going to an SEC environment. Unfortunately for the Bulldogs, losing their head coach, who tragically passed away, just a pioneer in the game of college football with the air raid offense at Washington State, Texas Tech. Mike Leach was a huge influence here at Tucson, too, because a lot of people remember Sonny Dykes was his offense coordinator for a long period of time before coming to Tucson. So it's going to be tough, unfortunately, because of the situation. You don't know what Mississippi State's going to look like. They hired their defensive coordinator, so it's probably going to be similar to last year. But a lot of new faces for that staff as, you know, they try to get back to normalcy. But it should be a good game, and I think Arizona is equipped to go on the road in an environment like that this year than they would have last year if they had to travel to Starksville.
Oh, yeah, no question. I've only got about 20 seconds, but the Pac-12 is loaded with quarterback talent, and anything can happen, Troy Hutchison.
Yeah, you know, I think Jaden Delora is one of the better quarterbacks in this conference. I know he gets a lot of heat for his turnovers, but you saw him progress throughout the season.
Yeah.
And he's right up there with Williams, who's probably going to be in the Heisman running this season. Oregon has a guy that's going to be in the Heisman running. But from top to bottom, I would say there's about 11 high-caliber quarterbacks in this conference.
Wow.
And Arizona has one of those guys. And, you know, I would say it's anybody's game in terms of quarterbacks, and it's going to really come down to who can get stops, who's going to be the team that's able to get a few stops.
Yeah, well put. Troy Hutchison, always a pleasure. Thank you, Troy. We'll catch up with you soon. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
Bye. All right, that'll do it on behalf of Troy Hutchison and Mr. Tom Fairbanks, who's been engineering and producing very ably, as usual. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. Talk with you in about 23 hours.